So far, we have covered the theoretical basis of Dhamma practice and also covered the key essence or key points of practices in daily life. And now we're going to cover the methods of teaching and its skillfulness. If one do not know the proper technology, it's not easy to achieve spiritual achievement.
Four.
The great Qingliang master in the Flower Adorn Sutra, he said there are four procedures or secrets in cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. Number one, to believe. Number two, to understand. Number three, to practice. Number four, to enter into the state that one originally believed. We talk about the first one, to believe. When the karmic connection fully mature, then one will become a believer. That's why oftentimes it's said Buddha will save those who believe him. Because if the karmic connection is not fully matured, then even Buddha cannot help. Has to wait for the proper time because the person has no faith. Fully mature, then one will become a believer. That's why oftentimes it's said Buddha will save those who believe him. Because if the karmic connection is not fully matured, then even Buddha cannot help. Has to wait for the proper time because the person has no faith in Buddha. For Buddhism, it is not just you believe, then you be saved, as other religion has proclaimed. We need, after belief, the realization, the understanding of the of Buddhism. Understand the truths of the human life and the structure of the universe. With proper understanding and the faith into the enlightened Buddha, then one would be able to do the third level, the third item, which is practice, which is based upon the foundation or basis of proper philosophy or theory, and then put into actual practice. It is not just blindly practice without the faith or proper understanding. And finally, sometimes the word translated as enter or unification, which means one can, in one state of life, what one think and what one does is in total agreement with what described in the sutra, and the sutra and one's life become inseparable. That's the time you have called, then it's called enter, and the sutra, everything become you and is not separate from you. Believe, enter, and the sutra, everything become you and is not separate from you. However, this belief or faith is still different than the faith and belief as other religion has described. They believe in some supernatural power or a supreme identity outside oneself. In Buddhism, the faith and belief is in oneself. The faith and belief in that we believe we have the same Buddha nature and no less than Buddha himself. We believe we have the capability and potentiality to become Buddha. Just because we have wandering thoughts and attachment that we become sentient beings. If we can remove the vexations, the attachment and wandering thoughts, we can see our own self nature, the Buddha nature, and we will be no different than the enlightened Buddha. So the first faith or belief is faith and belief in oneself. And then comes the second belief and faith, is what Buddha teaches us and what kind of person Buddha is. That is belief and faith in Buddha. It comes after the belief and faith in oneself. In Ming Dynasty, Venerable Oyi Master, he also further explained the belief into belief of phenomenal world, belief in the theory. The theory is that we all have the same true Buddha nature. But the true Buddha nature seems inconceivable, and all phenomenal world are so different from each other. It is because, due to the law of cause and effect, from the empty nature comes out all kind of phenomena. And therefore, since the phenomena are so overwhelming and complex, the causes and effects are also numerous. If we have the proper belief, faith, in this way, then our practice of Buddha Dhamma will be happy and successful. In the ancient time, the student always followed the teacher closely and oftentimes follow one teacher. Listen to teacher's instruction and into practice. In the ancient China, those who practice Buddha Dhamma, they spend 5 years learning just what is precept and how to observe precepts. Actually, it is not the precept of Dhamma type precept, but the special instruction set up by your teacher or guru. And the teacher has complete responsibility of the student's success or failure in the spiritual development. But today, unfortunately, we cannot see such a relationship in existence. The teacher do not fulfill the teacher's responsibilities. They do not really care for the students. They do not have strong wish the student to be the best. And from the student point of view, the student, unfortunately, do not respect the teacher. Since the teacher is not teacher, a student is not student. So the ancient relationship between teacher and student cannot be seen in today's world. In 5 years of precept or rules, observation, and practice, thou will establish the foundation for the three things, which is the precept, the samadhi, and the wisdom. For example, a Zen master always wants a student to do some laborious work for 5 years. And the student, you may feel it's very boring for the student for the 5 years without learning anything else but just laborious work. Actually, the student learned a lot, so much that he didn't realize. She is actually cultivating virtues and wisdom together. Because working in a monastery, in a simple and maybe even boring life, you are cultivating almsgiving by offering your physical labors and services. You are accumulating merits. Doing the same kind of laborious work in a temple, its merit far exceed the merits of doing same type of work at average house. And also, doing some simple job, maybe even boring job, the eyes are not distracted, the ears are not distracted. So the vexations and temptations are drastically reduced. And with reduced vexations, mind becomes a tendency to settle down. and be peaceful. And that's the 5 years of boring work, laborious effort in a monastery. It's a real good blessing and practice to lay a strong foundation for future spiritual achievement. And also, we can give you another example. In the flower, wonderful flower school, their education system is, for a beginner, the student were told to sweep the floor, to carry some heavy stuff, and to do all kinds of miscellaneous work. And then, still within the first 5 years, he will be given...
打扫完毕以后,念经,另外五年,打扫念经,一共五年。
And then, within the same 5 years time frame, he will be asked doing nothing but reciting the sutra. Recite from the beginning to the end, the wonderful lotus flower sutra, by memory. And is not allowed to go to the classroom and listen to the teaching of the wonderful flower sutra, as other senior monks. It is not to utilize the student as cheap labor or servants. It is to give him or her an opportunity to establish good foundation, accumulating merits, and propel his mind. So when he's ready, then will be allowed to the classroom for formal teaching. And quickly, with good foundation, this person, with proper preparation, become enlightened, some even reach sainthood. But today's people, without the proper preparation, even though attending lectures and listen to the lectures, even for 30 years, very seldom become enlightened. At the most, they have profound Buddhism knowledge and cannot be enlightened. So compared with ancient education in Buddhism practice, it seems boring the ancient way, but tremendous benefit and happiness coming afterward, thereafter. So today we like to learn a lot of teachings from a lot of teachers. We try to gain more knowledge. With this kind of attitude and approach, it is incorrect. Ancient people, they practice by first cut off vexations or suppress the vexations. Cut off vexations so that the wisdom can come out. And then when wisdom come out, they will go out to learn all kinds of teachings. That's the time to truly practice. Dharma gates are numerous. I vow to master them all. That's the time you do it, not in the beginning. The more method you learn in the beginning, more confusion you got. Not only too much knowledge doesn't do you any good in realization, in enlightenment. It actually creates your wandering thoughts, your even evil thoughts. That's because your mind is totally confused. Therefore, in order to truly obtain spiritual achievement, one must first start with one sutra, and only one sutra. Just like the Zen traditions or the Vajrayana Buddhism tradition, start with one thing. For people who practice sutra chanting, if that's your practice, then you go ahead and chant the sutra. Do not try to understand the meaning of the sutra. Just chant the sutra non-stop. Because when you chant the sutra, the precept, the samadhi, and the wisdom are accomplished simultaneously. When you chant the sutra with all your concentration and sincerity, you are not doing anything wrong or evil. This is you perfect your precept. When you chant your sutra with a single mind, with a devotion, you are actually in a single mind state that is similar to samadhi. When you chant sutra without figuring out its meaning, your mind is in complete clarity of individual sutra and its word. So that is similar to or close to wisdom. Therefore, just chant with single mind, sincerity, then all three practice elements, the precept, samadhi, and wisdom, are all contained and accomplished simultaneously. If one tries to study the sutra, investigates meaning as a philosophy, then you just lost this precept, samadhi, and wisdom. For today's people, 5 years concentration on sutra chanting is not sufficient. I know there are some people in Dallas organization, Buddhist organization, they chant 10 times a day of the Infinite Light Sutra. They chant
无量寿经行,
half hour per time, and they finish 10 times a day. That takes 5 hours. And a few years later, the mind settled down and close to purity. With the pure mind to study the sutra, then one can seize the meaning behind the word. For Pure Land School students, one need to concentrate in chanting the Infinite Life Sutra. For Tantai School of Chinese Mahayana Buddhism, you need to concentrate to your main sutra, that is Flower Adorn Sutra. For the Flower Adorn Sutra. For the Flower Adorn
Sutra. 法华宗,
还有一个是妙华莲花经, 就是妙华莲花。The Wonderful Flower Sutra. And after 5 years, when the mind settled down and close to pure purity, then one will be able to benefit from that. And today's people, due to thought contamination, it was contaminated so deep and so early, then the time to decontaminate need to be more than 5 years. Because when one to modern people, with our minds, our thought and thoughts are contaminated by TV since very young, and is so deeply brainwashed. Therefore, need a longer time for repurification. I remember when I reached about teenager's age, my mind is still so innocent, don't know too many things about the world, and I was so happy every day. And once I realize about the world as my wandering mind wake up, then I begin to feel vexations because I know I have to watch people's face and know something I can do or I cannot do. I cannot go ahead and do what I feel like to. I have to watch before I get a punishment or something. To practice the heart and obtain purity, now purity, from that purity comes the wisdom. That very first wisdom is called the fundamental wisdom, the original wisdom. With this one already possessed, then one is allowed to go out to learn from all teachers, to expose to all teachings, including evil ones. Because when one already have original wisdom, then one go out to see many other things, mind still not moving, instead increase its samadhi. For one already have original wisdom and sees and compare with other teaching, even evil things, the mind become even more clear. And one knows much more than just original wisdom. That's the time called the later obtained wisdom. And that's why this Buddhism statement says, prajna is not knowing. It is not knowing. Not knowing means original wisdom. Without not knowing means the wisdom, or maybe translated as discriminating wisdom, capable to distinguish all phenomena. The ancient Chinese people practice Buddha Dharma. They respect the teacher and teacher's teaching. Due to the profound foundation from Confucius, therefore do not emphasize the Theravada Buddhism that much, because they can use the substitute foundation. What is that foundation? It is the five virtues emphasized by Confucius. That is kind, good, respectfulness, frugality or carefulness, and patience endurance. And with this foundation, then follow the three practices, the precept, samadhi, and wisdom, and six paramitas, and plus 10 great vows, then one can step by step marching toward higher level of spiritual practices and achievement. And this sequence is universal to all schools in Buddha Dharma. No matter it's Vajrayana Buddhism or other type of Mahayana Mahayana Buddhism, no matter it's Zen type of school or the teaching school which emphasize sutras, they all follow basically this kind of principle. If they do follow this one closely, the spiritual achievement is anticipated. And there's another unique system in Buddhism's education. And that shows how skillful Buddha's teaching and system were. For the monk disciples who are not yet achieved spiritual achievement, they follow the teacher, the Buddha, all the time. For those who has already graduated, so to speak, called the Bodhisattva, they go around and spread the teaching and help sentient beings. However, every year they need to come back to Buddha Sakyamuni for re-education. It's done during the summertime. They'll still go back and listen to Buddha's teaching, and they also offer opinions or personal experience for discussion for a total of 3 months, and then they go out again. So this is a very good re-education system. This part is different from the Chinese ancient educational system, and is very good. Today, the Chinese monks that I know of still have this kind of system, but it's just a formality. The real true benefit is incomparable with the ancient time system. However, there are also other types of re-education or concentrated educational systems, such as the summer camp Buddhism school, the winter camp Buddhism school. Those are basically following the same spirit, and not necessarily last for 3 months. And that's still a good system, need to be promoted more. Buddha's educational methods and his systems are very auspicious and very effective. However, cannot be accepted by modern people. Modern people believe the more you learn, the more knowledgeable you are. As such, today's Buddhism education, the so-called Buddhism Institute, only can help people obtain a PhD degree. Then after that one, with a PhD degree in Buddhism, one can obtain fame and some profit, but it has nothing to do with color vexations, and not to say rich sagehood. In the ancient time, Confucius do a lot of itinerary teach, just like a Buddha. Buddha, well, you often time brought 1,200 monks and travel along together. Therefore, they travel from one place to another place, and only if somebody is very rich and financially capable to invite Buddha, will have the capability, will be able to invite Buddha, because it's a big group coming together, traveling together. This monastery system was first established in China, the permanent monastery system. In India, when Buddha traveled around, they carry bowls and they knock the door to request for food offerings. And in the society of India, with that kind of culture, people who knock the door and request for food in order to continue their practice without paying attention to seek for material reward, respect, worth the highest respect of the society. But this is the opposite in the society of China. If people begging around, knocking the door, receive despise from the Chinese family. Since Buddhist masters were invited by the emperor of China, and after the food offering of the emperor just cannot allow the monks to go out and knock doors begging for food. So a permanent monastery was established. Therefore, material life were improved a lot. Actually, the time to first establish a monastery is by the 8th patriarch, who is the next generation from the famous 6th patriarch. The 8th Zen patriarch's name is Daoyi Mazhu. By the way, the Mazhu is not the same Mazhu, a local religion and belief in Taiwan. This is the patriarch Ma, to be the number 8th patriarch of Zen Buddhism. He first started the monastery system, and then later on, another Bai Zhang.
同一时代, 清光, 清规, 白藏, 清规同一时代.
At the same time, Zen master Bai Zhang established rules and regulations called the monastery's rules and regulations. And this monastery system is very much like an institute, but is specialized institute. And this kind of system was unique in China. Buddhism is very artistic. It emphasizes about importance of the music and the beauty of the arts. It also has tremendous contribution in architecture and sculpture and so on and so forth. It is truly a knowledge about the beauty and truth. Unfortunately, the beauty has gradually disappeared. But today's chanting has changed has deteriorated its quality. And in Buddhism, we're really short of good artists. And the good artist, a good one, supposed to have profound spiritual cultivation as basis. The name comes out inspirational creativity. And then we can enjoy the product of the artistic product rich in a beauty, in goodness, and in its truth. And also, beings will be benefit from looking at this artistic product. In chanting, for example, due to the mind is not pure, the chanting is not that effective in purifying other person, in purifying environment and the beings around. Sometimes it's not as beautiful as the hymn of Christianity. And that's because short of people with artistic art and short of practice. But still, there are some beautiful work left in mainland China, such as the stone cave and numerous products made carved on the stone wall in the Dunhuang in the desert area of mainland China.
还有一个什么云门石窟。
云冈。
And also there's another stone cave in Yungang. And recently in the Hebei,
平附近哈，北
平。房山。
北平，北
平。对，房子的房，房屋的房。
In the Fangshan County of in the kind of near Peking area, there are over 20,000 of stone carved board that ancient Buddhism the scripture was actually carved on the big board about 3-4 inches thick and is carved on both sides. And each word are carved beautifully and they are hiding in 7 different caves underground.
地下的啊。
And now the Chinese Communist Authority only disclosed